Your holster is way more important than you think it is. It's just way more important than you think it is. What? Look, and I get that. The holster's not the sexy part of carrying firearms, right? You want to talk about your weapon and your ammunition. You want to talk about your safety training. You want to talk about how you did at the range. Oh, look at my groups. I was doing these farrier drills today. And all that stuff's really important. I mean, really, really important. I'm not discounting that. But I've known so many people who do all those things. They take all the necessary steps, and then they carry with a holster they bought from a big box hunting store that was made 1,000 at a time. Please, don't put your life in one of those holsters. You need to trust Northwest Retention Systems because it's all custom-made gear. It's the only thing I carry around. NWRetention.com. That's NWRetention.com. Use the promo code Jesse. Get you 10% off. Some lies are apparently okay and some of them aren't. A horrible, heartbreaking shooting that the national media won't cover. And finally, a baby that's going to lead this nation one day. All that's coming up right now on I'm Right. Charlottesville. How many times have you heard a Democrat media member or Democrat politician bring up the word Charlottesville? I mean, it's a nice town, by the way. I don't know if you've ever been. I've been. It's a lovely little town. But Charlottesville now, it's been cemented in your mind as what? Well, that's where those white supremacists attacked somebody. They killed someone there. The Trump supporters that... It's all false. Virtually everything you've heard about Charlottesville is false. Yes, there were some white supremacist dudes showed up there in Charlottesville. There was a counter-protest that showed up to oppose the white supremacist dudes in Charlottesville. Par for the course for politics. You know, whenever you get one of those idiotic little KKK rallies with two fat dudes sitting on the courthouse in their stupid-looking white hoods, you're always going to get a counter-protest across the street. Half the time, the cops have to protect the KKK guys. But it's what it was. It was a protest, and there was a counter-protest. Some dude lost his mind, plowed through the crowd, killed a young lady. That happened. Ugly. Horrible. And of course, the American media pounced on it. Why did they pounce on it? Because they are dying for Republicans or members of the Republican base to start hurting and killing people so they can demonize them. Never mind the fact we have left-wing organizers, left-wing rioters, looters across the United States of America actually killing people, destroying property. And it hasn't just been over the past 4 months, over the past 4 years and before. We're talking body counts. Black Lives Matter? You know that group everybody had to play nice with for about 2 weeks except for me? Oh, Black Lives Matter. Every idiot politician had to put up a post with the hashtag Black Lives Matter. Every professional athlete, Black Lives Matter. Every corporation, Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter this, Black Lives Matter that. You know they've been murdering people for years? You remember when those 5 Dallas cops were killed? Guess who did that? Guess what the killer was saying right before the cops finally put him down? Black Lives Matter. Didn't know that, did you? But you see, the advantage of having the entire disgusting leftist media in your pocket is anything done by Black Lives Matter gets... Let's just sweep that under the rug. I mean, it's fine. Look, that was an exception. Oh, he didn't mean it. He probably misspoke. Anything done by somebody who could even remotely be labeled a Republican, it's, look, right-wing violence. And that's why they loved Charlottesville so much. It was something they thought they could lay at the feet of Donald Trump. And since that moment, they have run with an outright lie. I'm not talking about one of these times where the media and the Democrats will take a wee little partial truth and then just run away with it to make Republicans look bad. I mean an outright lie. The media's done it forever. Democrat candidates have done it forever. And I don't just mean some candidate running in jerkwater somewhere. The Democratic nominee, or I should say likely Democratic nominee for President of the United States, continues to repeat things like this. Quote, 3 years ago today, white supremacists descended on Charlottesville with torches in hand and hate in their hearts. Our president said they were, quote, very fine people, end quote. It was clear then and it's clear now. We are in a battle for the soul of our nation and we must win. That's a lie. That's not a misinterpretation. That is a lie. So for the thousandth time, here's the actual video of what Donald Trump said.
Excuse me, and you had some very bad people in that group, but you also had people that were very fine people on both sides. You had people in that group, excuse me, I saw the same pictures as you did. You had people in that group that were there to protest the taking down of, to them, a very, very important statue and the renaming of a park from Robert E. Lee to another name.
That's what he said. There wasn't anything after that. He didn't call the Nazis and KKK guys or whatever there very fine people. And yet Joe Biden has been allowed to lie about this endlessly. And that's my point. This is not about Joe Biden. It's political season. I expect everybody to lie. They're politicians. That's what they do. They lie. When they're talking, they're lying. Where's the American media? How long could a Republican get away with telling an outright lie about something a Democrat said? And I don't mean, we're not talking about secondhand reports here. We have the videotape. I just played it for you. That's not what he said. And yet they're able to lie again and again and again and again. Which brings us back to that uncomfortable question, that conversation we had the other night. Is a free press a good idea? I mean, I know a state-run media is basically the most disgusting thing in the world. I would never champion that. But what we have now is not good for the United States of America. What we have now is destroying the United States of America. Think how many people in this nation believe that very fine people lie that has been repeated over and over and over again because the American media is so in the tank for the Democrats, they refuse to correct it. You see, our media has become so powerful with 8 million different avenues out there. They're so powerful, and they have no interest whatsoever in controlling their own power or using their power for good. The American media, like every kind of leftist, they use their power for their own purposes and nothing else. And it is dangerous. I hate to put it that way. It is dangerous for the future of the United States of America. It is. Joe Biden had a joint press conference, if that's what you want to call it, with Kamala. Look, I know I'm saying her name wrong. You can stop emailing me. I'm used to saying Kamala. So that's what I'm going to keep saying because it's my show and I can say whatever I want. Either way, he had a joint press conference thing with Kamala Harris yesterday. And I have to be honest. I realize most politicians don't like each other. It's really painful to watch these two pretend to care about each other. Why? This is what we call the ultimate marriage of convenience with these two. Joe Biden picked Kamala Harris because he promised to pick a woman and he promised to pick a black person. Check, check, let's get Kamala up there. Kamala Harris agreed to be Joe Biden's vice president because Kamala Harris would sell both of her kidneys and her own parents if it meant becoming president of the United States of America. She just bleeds selfish ambition. Nevertheless, they joined together to go after Trump yesterday.
Donald Trump has already started his attacks, calling Kamala, quote, nasty, whining about how she is, quote, mean to his appointees. It's no surprise, because whining is what Donald Trump does best, better than any president in American history. Is anyone surprised Donald Trump has a problem with a strong woman or strong women across the board?
We have a president who cares more about himself than the people who elected him. A president who is making every challenge we face even more difficult to solve.
I'm going to give some advice here And it's no doubt going to cause so many people to be angry, and you're going to write emails, and I'm sure the Media Matters people are going to call the studio. I don't care, and they don't care either. So I'm just going to give it to you right between the eyes. Are you ready? This is for not just the ladies. This is for dudes, too. In politics, in the business world, whatever the case may be, nobody wants to hear you whine. Nobody wants to hear your excuses. It's because I'm a woman. It's because of this. It's because of that. Nobody gives a crap about you. They don't care about you personally. They don't care about your feelings. And nobody out there hears you say, of course you'd say that because I'm a woman. Nobody out there hears that and thinks, man, my respect for that person just went up. It's pathetic. Toughen up. And the reason I bring this up is we are going to have to endure this now for 10 weeks until the election. Every single time Donald Trump savages Kamala Harris, we're going to have to hear, it's because it's a woman. He's saying that because I'm a woman. Oh, shut up. If you're not happy with that, go back home. If you want to get into politics, politics is a contact sport, man or woman. Buck up, buttercup. But the media, it is time to make Kamala Harris as shiny and new as humanly possible, never mind her terrible record, never mind the fact she has openly campaigned on some of the most insane radical leftist stuff in the world. George Stephanopoulos, she's a moderate, he says.
Kamala Harris comes from the middle-of-the-road moderate wing of the Democratic Party, not the first choice of progressives, but Joe Biden banking that this historic move as the first woman of color on a national ticket will overcome that.
The middle-of-the-road moderate wing, and let me clarify something for you. What you just saw from George Stephanopoulos, you're going to see and hear a million times over between now and November, and it's not an accident. You see how he had to frame it for you? Kind of like, she's a moderate, but we'll deal with her type thing. They're all going to do that, and they're all going to do it on purpose. They're going to try to run this ticket to the middle of the pack now so they can be more appealing to that independent voter. So they'll act like it's a bad thing, but they're all campaigning on behalf of the Biden-Harris ticket on purpose. She's a moderate, very reasonable, but I guess we'll deal with her. They're all going to do that. It's disgusting. Again, I don't know what the solution is for media, but what we have does not work at all. At all. Senator Marsha Blackburn, she nailed it.
Now, I will say this. With the selection of Kamala Harris, the left now has the most leftist, radical team that they have had as a nominee for their party. You've got Kamala Harris, who was out marching with the mob in Washington, D.C. You've got Joe Biden, who has grabbed this agenda. And just look through this agenda list. And your listeners should focus in on this. This is a president and vice president, and we know the VP is going to really be the one running the show in this administration if they were to win.
The one running show is a really, really big deal. I am still floored that even a party as disgusting as the Democratic Party would choose a candidate to be the top of their ticket who can't physically or mentally do the job. He's certainly not going to last. Even if he makes it to the day they swear him in, if he gets elected, everybody acknowledges, vice president matters a little more now. How can you do that? How can you do that to the United States of America? Are these people really that selfish and power hungry? Yeah. Yeah, they are. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. Now, you know what else should make you uncomfortable? If you have a home title that you haven't secured yet with Home Title Lock. You see, your home title is not just a piece of paper anymore. One, it's your biggest financial vulnerability, most likely. Two, it's digital. It exists online. And you had better start learning that online is a whole new world for criminals now. There are cyber thieves everywhere. They spend day and night. As we speak, they are prowling the internet for home titles, unsecured home titles. When they get them, they get your signature on them, which is easy for them to forge. Take a loan out against it, you pay it back. Not your home insurance, they're not going to cover it, you do. Go to HomeTitleLock.com right now. Register your address, see if you're already a victim. You might be. While you're there, sign up. Use the code Jesse when you do it. Get yourself 30 free days. HomeTitleLock.com. Use the code Jesse. We'll be back. Do you know the name Cannon Hinnant? Why don't you know the name? I'll tell you why. Because we have a disgusting media in this country. And I'm not going to dwell on this story long because it is frankly horrible. It would have been horrible at any point in my life. Now, as a father of two young sons, it's almost unbearable to even talk about. And I don't want to bring you down, so I'm not going to dwell on it. But this young, adorable boy you see up there was riding his bicycle, and his neighbor came out and executed the young man right in front of his family. And this is his neighbor.
Our neighbor saw it. She said the young man just walked up to the little boy who was sitting on his bike. I just don't understand why he did it. How can you walk up to a little boy point blank and put a gun to his head and just shoot him? How can anyone do that?
I'm not covering this to make you cry. I'm not covering it to make you sad. I'm covering it for this reason. The man who came up and executed that young man is black. Now, obviously race is not exactly important, really, frankly, ever, but definitely when it comes to crime. However, if the media is going to do what they've done for months now, and that's gin up this racial tension in the country, police brutality, Black Lives Matter, we have to capitalize to be in black, reparations, equality, kneeling for the flag. Why don't they cover stories like this at all? This is why the American people think the press is broken. Because this story, no matter the color of either of them, is national news. This is one of the most horrific stories I've ever seen in my entire life. And total media blackout. Total media blackout. Say a prayer for this family. God only knows what they must be going through right now. But when you're a member of the American press and you get this kind of story and you look at it and you think to yourself, oh, we should cover that. Ooh, now the killer's black. We can't cover that. Do you know that you're broken? Or are you so broken that you don't know you're broken? Because if that's a conscious decision you've made, and clearly it is, because it's been totally blacked out from the media, you're a broken individual. You are. And this is the price we pay for this idiotic social justice warrior, wannabe civil rights leader movement we see now. You can't speak basic truths because basic truths make people uncomfortable. I don't want the media to pull for white people. I don't want the media to pull for black people. I don't want them pulling for Hispanics or men or women or immigrants or citizens or anything else. I want you to report the news. I want you to report the news, even when it makes people uncomfortable, especially when it makes people uncomfortable. And for an organization like the American media to do what they've done and tell you endlessly, what do they all say? All these leftists, everyone in the press, all these journalists that act like they're Davy SEALs out there, they all say the same thing. We're here to speak truth to power. No, you're not. Sell that somewhere else. You're not speaking truth to power. You're all taking the company line. You're all saying only the things that you're approved to say. I'm tired of that cowardice in this country. It's got to stop, and it's got to stop soon. That young man deserves better. His family deserves better. This is a national story, and we don't avoid stories in the United States of America because you think it might make black people look bad. We don't avoid stories because you think it might make white people look bad. You report the news. The people will decide on their own. That is what it's supposed to be here in America. All right, like I said, I'm not going to dwell on it. I'm going to let that go, but it's the truth. Now, that's enough ugliness. Speaking of sons, let me tell you something recently I really got to do. I got to do, and it's really cool with my sons. We got to open a battle box together. Have you seen these things? These battle boxes, they're all two and a half feet by 2 feet. This flat box that comes, and you open it up together with your boys, with the fam, and it's a whole bunch of survival gear all over the map. I mean hatchets, grills, flashlights, tarps. I got one. It's a special piece of equipment for my truck. I keep it in my truck. It has the ability to slice out open a seatbelt in case you get stuck or smash out a window, because I have to sadly admit, you cannot punch out a car window. I've tried before. It simply does not work. Battle Box, they send it to you every month. It's a subscription. Talk about the ultimate thing for dudes. And I mean the ultimate thing for dudes. And it starts as little as $30 a month. If you don't just want to read the instructions on how to use everything, they have a show. It's on Netflix. It's called Southern Survival. Watch it. It's fantastically entertaining. I watch it all the time with my boys. Go get yourself a subscription to BattleBox. You will be impressed. Oh, and I'm about to save you a pile of money. Go to BattleBox.com. Remember, there's no E in it. BattleBox with no E. Go to BattleBox.com. Use the code Jesse. Save yourself a fortune. Enjoy. We'll be back. Joining me now is former investment banker, very fancy, creator of the Future File Legacy Planning System, of which I'm an owner and host of the Roth Effect podcast. Carol Roth needs no introduction on this show, our resident free marketer. Carol, you're not a Republican. You are most definitely not a Democrat. So I have a question I've been asking people, and you might be the one to answer it. Obviously, I think a state-run media is the most disgusting, horrendous thing in the history of mankind. We don't need the state really involved in anything, except for the military, which should be small, but that's another matter. However, what we have now, our free press now, is bad for America. It is. It is bad in every possible way for this country. Is there some sort of third option, some way to merge the two? What is, give me a solution, a smart person investment banker solution.
You know, it's a question of kicking people in the butts and letting them know that they can use technology to spread ideas and information in a way that was never done before, and forcing them to do so. Unfortunately, people like yourself, like myself, who believe in, you know, basic principles and rights and the like, we're the kinds of people who should be spreading the information. Obviously, you're doing that great job here. I'm doing so on my podcast, but we need more people to do that, because we have to win the idea wars. Like you said, you cannot give it to government. Unfortunately, the current incarnation of the media is completely evil, but that means we need to create more incentives. And if you're somebody who is a good person trying to figure out where to donate dollars, donate it to good people doing good work, help them get a bigger platform. And that's the best way we can go about solving the problem.
Carol, I brought it up, and this just popped into my head because I don't necessarily plan anything for interviews. The military. What are your thoughts on foreign policy, the military, large, small, so on and so forth? Let's get the Carol Roth philosophy here.
So I'm a pretty strict individual rights person. I believe in individual rights and free markets, and the entire setup of individual and rights and free market requires the government to protect those rights. So I think that institutions like the military and like the police are important and necessary. That being said, if that were the only thing that the government was focused on, and we brought in more free market principles like transparency, hey, go figure, accountability, hey, go figure, then we could probably have a more efficient military. We could see when foreign policy is being used for things that it probably shouldn't. You know, China's a great example. We could do probably three entire shows about what's happened with us in China since the 1970s. So I think that that's really what the government should be focused on, is protecting our rights. But the fact is, the government is just so big and so opaque and so just like, you know, kind of this crazy, you know, upside down world, Stranger Things type of entity, that it's impossible for us to even keep tabs on the things that they should be doing, and therefore they don't really do any of it well. But I do appreciate the military. I appreciate anyone who serves our country, like yourself, Jesse. Thank you for your service.
Well, I appreciate that, Carol, but let's be frank. That was about, 15 years and probably 30, 35 pounds ago. I leave that to my much younger, stronger men at this point in time. Now, the stock market is still killing it out there. I wake up in the mornings and I look at my 401k and I think, that's working out fine. And yet there's another 990,000 jobless claims this week. I know you and I have talked about this briefly before. Carol, please explain to me how we have millions of people out of work and the stock market is way up here.
Because the stock market is not the economy. It is a subset of the biggest and baddest companies in the economy, many of whom have lots of crony relationships at every level of government. And so when you think about what's happened in 2020 with the government picking winners and losers, telling small business owners like restaurants and retailers and gyms that they have to shut, the beneficiary of that are these big companies like Amazon, like Walmart, like Target, like Microsoft, like Facebook, that did not have to shut down. So any money that is being spent, including your Donnie dollars that you got in the mail if you made less than a certain amount and got your little subsidy check, you know, that's where you're spending those kinds of dollars. So those companies are doing very well. Plus, we have this entity called the Federal Reserve, which we've talked a little bit about before. That's an independent agency, quote unquote, that gets its authority from Congress. And they are interfering in markets in a crazy way and propping them up. All of those factors mean that the stock market does well at the expense, or at least to the chagrin of Main Street, which continues to struggle. And it sort of hides the fact that there are sort of a tale of two different economies going on.
Carol, I argued, and I would say really brilliantly, at the beginning of all these COVID lockdowns and such, that what we're seeing is we're going to see the rise of the mega corporation in America, because we've essentially lined up the small businesses on the side of the ditch and shot them in the back of the head, and all the big businesses are gobbling all that up, and we're going to have basically Amazon and Walmart and Google by the time all this is done. Am I wrong?
I think that there's certainly an argument towards that trend. And one of the things that happens is that you get these quote unquote smart politicians who want to help. And they say, we have these big bad corporations like Amazon and Facebook. We must regulate them. And you know what Amazon and Facebook do? They throw a party and they go, that's fantastic. Because if you put a bunch of regulations in place, then none of the small competitors can comply. They'll go out of business. Nobody can afford to start a new business. And we'll just keep getting those businesses. So the more the government interferes, the more it actually hurts the little guy that everybody's supposed to be helping. And the more that it benefits the big guy. And it's funny, we're seeing this in California right now with this AB5 law, where they're targeting Uber and Lyft, but the reality is that it's hurting many more small businesses and it's completely wrecking the economy. And there's an act in Congress called the PRO Act that's passed the House, which has the same language, where they're literally trying to kill the gig economy. And the outsized effect of that is that it will hurt small business owners and your and my flexibility to work the way that we want. Like, the government literally wants to say, no, I'm sorry, you want to work that job, you can't do that because it's not under the conditions that we deem appropriate, and it's absolutely disgusting.
Carol, if I have to put a sunny face on all this disaster that's been happening, it's that these big cities, even great cities like Chicago, New York, which is one of my favorite places in the world, the leftists have so destroyed these places that the good people are going to flee them, and it's going to help disperse people across rural America, which is actually better for the country. Am I wrong?
I think you're wrong, because unfortunately people are delusional and they take these bad policies that they keep voting for in places like my hometown of Chicago or New York or California, and they take them with them. They flee because of these stupid policies, and then they vote for the same big government that enacts the stupid policies. I mean, even take a step back to the George Floyd protests. I mean, the underlying protest there is that's a violation of somebody's individual rights, and the way people want to fight that is with more government. I mean, it just completely makes no sense. And we have lost such a fundamental grasp in this country of what the Constitution is, what individual rights mean, why collectivism is bad, and these basic things that you might learn in civics or economics and finance that clearly aren't being taught in the schools with my tax dollars, that we've got people who are acting emotionally and not rationally. And unfortunately, smart people like you and somewhat smart people like me, Jesse, are bearing the brunt of that.
Yeah, that's how that goes. Carol, why do we have a public education system at all? I want to burn the entire thing to ash and get away from any government education. Whenever I say that, people yell at me and they say, you don't want poor kids to go to school. And that's not the case. I just don't want any government education.
Yeah, no, I think that there's sort of a slow march towards how you can restructure the system, and that would be to bring more free markets into education. I mean, if you think about it right now, the fight that's going on, should schools be open or should they not? Should teachers go back or should they not? The reality is that I shouldn't be making that decision for someone else, and the government shouldn't be making that decision for somebody else. The dollars should be able to follow students, you know, and the choice should be there. And if we had that, then a teacher, especially with technology, wouldn't have any limitations on upside. You could put out your classes over the internet. If you can get a million people to join because you're the best teacher in the world, you could make millions of dollars as a teacher. I mean, there's an entire free market opportunity out there for the education system and to reward those really good teachers. And I think that there is a structure where, you know, obviously I would prefer that everyone funds their own education, but I understand that there are kids that are born of circumstances that are not their own that benefits us to have educated. But it would be great for them to also have choice and to have better options so they are not captive to the union system that provides the crappy education, even though I'm spending $30,000 a year on Chicago public school systems with my property taxes to get absolutely nothing in return and have no children attending those schools.
I just got heartburn hearing you talk about $30,000 a year.
Yeah, it's not fun to have to write those checks. To see the little, like, here's how much of your money went to the Chicago public school system. It's not a good day in our household.
All right, one last question, Carol. With the exception of American cheese, which everybody knows is the only burger cheese, on a sandwich in general, what is the superior cheese? If you had to pick one, don't give me this, well, little this, little that. Pick one cheese for sandwiches for the rest of your life. What is it?
Well, so I'm not really, like, to me, like, a sandwich is like a burger or a grilled cheese sandwich. So I'm going to have to go with a melty cheese since I like my sandwiches warm. So let's just go with Gruyere. It's a good melter.
It is a good melter. I just can't say it. And every time I read it, okay. I would have gone smoked provolone or maybe mozzarella, but Gruyere sounds good too. Carol Roth, host of the Roth Effect podcast.
Very, very similar to smoked provolone and has that smoky quality to it as well.
Okay. I like a Gouda too. It's a little hoity-toity for my taste, but that's fine. Carol Roth, thank you, ma'am.
Hi,
Fancy. All right. In all seriousness, I don't mean to go heavy on you twice in one show tonight, but here's the truth. Our veterans hurt when they come home. I've been there. Not only are you hurting, you don't feel like anybody understands. And it's really, really hard because you'll have mom, dad, maybe wife, sister, kids, and they'll ask, what's wrong? What's wrong? How can I help? Because they can see what you're going through. And you don't want to say anything because you think to yourself, no one understands. even if you think they care, you think no one understands. These guys need real help. They don't need another appointment at the VA. They need real help. That's why I am a proud supporter of Warriors Heart Foundation. It's a 501c3, and they're getting these veterans, our men and women who struggle, they're getting them the help they need for PTSD. We don't need to keep losing veterans to suicide. We need to get them real help. Not a bottle of pills, real help. Warriors Heart Foundation, they supplement insurance costs, scholarships. This is an organization changing the lives of the people who fought for you and me. Go to warriorsheartfoundation.org/the first. That's warriorsheartfoundation.org/the first. We'll be back. Joining me now is comedian and Washington Times columnist Tim Young. Tim, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris look about as comfortable together as, well, oil and water. They are completely opposite. They clearly hate each other. They clearly have no relationship at all. Does it matter for a potential president or vice president to have a relationship, or is that just fluff?
Yeah, in the past it did, but apparently not this time. You know, Joe Biden probably thinks his campaign looks like a racial jungle now, and that's really something that's bothered him in the past. So, I mean, it kind of makes sense, right? If you're a racist, you don't like that you have to run with an African-American woman.
Is he? I'm struggling with this because his comments, we have this list of comments from Joe Biden, and they are, I mean, they're stuff that would get you completely canceled this day and age. And it's bad. Do you think Joe Biden is an actual racist, or is he just one of these old school guys who's used to joking about it and his mind doesn't function enough to filter that stuff anymore?
Now, here's the thing with Joe Biden. He's the type of guy who is okay with desegregation as long as it's not in his neighborhood. That's the type of racist he is. So he doesn't come off as an overt, like, I hate XYZ. If it's down the road, it's really great, but the crime will come to the neighborhood. He's one of those guys.
I find it hard to believe that you could hate Trump as much as the left hates Trump. You could have 4 years to prepare, and your nominee is not a functional adult. That is beyond belief to me. I am the all-time procrastinator, and even I wouldn't just wake up one morning, June 1st, and think, oh, we have to pick a candidate. This is the best they've got?
Oh, so here's the thing. I have a theory on this. I think they're throwing the election because what happens if Joe Biden wins? What happens is the far left that's been rioting, the far left that AOC represents, the Green New Deal, all of that stuff, takes control of the DNC. So what they want to do is avoid that. I think this game is on the back end of the Democratic Party right now, where Pelosi, Schumer, Feinstein, the Clintons even, the Obamas, don't want to lose their power. And the young far left people will take over that party if Joe Biden wins.
Do they have the numbers, or do they just have the loudest voices? I mean, everyone thinks AOC is calling the shots in the DNC. Does she, or does she just have the most active Instagram account, and she's pretty hot?
I think these, you know what? Oh, by the way, Jesse, I've run into her in the Whole Foods in D.C. She's got empty eyes. It's it. I don't know if you've ever met a woman with the, like you stare in, they're just blank. It's not good, man. It goes away when you're in person. But that aside, I really think that they believe that social media numbers and the echo chamber they put themselves in is meaningful. And, you know, you and I who travel the country, we're in the middle of the country, we understand how the country actually functions and how normal everyday people go to work and have to do other things. People in D.C., they have their media friends they go drinking with, they have their likes and retweets on Twitter and Facebook and whatever else. And that's what they're basing things off of. And I think they've misconstrued that as their message getting over with America.
Doesn't social media become real life, though, if everybody thinks it's real life? Because I agree with you about the numbers and things like that. But, I mean, the truth is the president of the United States is on there. Businesses are on there. We have nations conducting diplomacy on there. If only 2% of the population's on Twitter, that's small. But if the 2% of the population that's in control of the rest of it's on there and thinks it's important, then it is, isn't it?
No, you're not supposed to be logical, Jesse. That actually makes a lot of sense. But then again, you and I should start running for office, right? Shouldn't we be members of Congress by now? I think we're both at about 300,000 each. Maybe I think you've got more than me, but we should be very influential and powerful at this point. Where's my money? Where's my suitcase of money that should be showing up with people since I have followers on Twitter?
comedian. I've always been fascinated with comedians because I think it takes something special. Most people couldn't stand up in front of a room full of people and just stand there, not even say anything. They'd have a nervous breakdown. You stand up in front of people and you actually have to get them to laugh. The first time you ever did that, was it the most terrifying thing in the world? Did it just come naturally to you? Is it still terrifying? What is it like?
Also, it was great for me the first time I did it because the dude in front of me sucked, and he sucked so bad that I made a comment about how much he sucked, and I got a pop from the audience doing crowd work. So it wasn't terrible, but I have had the worst bombs. The first time I did Caroline's on Broadway was the worst bomb I ever had in my life, and it was the best performance ever because I just, when you bomb terribly and it's your normal material, you start going through it and you just kind of have to read it like a script. And the best part was I would tell the joke, it would be flat silent, and then my buddy in the back who came out to support me would cackle hysterically by himself because he knew how uncomfortable it was for me. And that made it probably the most memorable performance or one of them of my career.
Have you seen your, I'm assuming your industry is crap right now, right? Surely they're not standing or sitting 6 feet away while you sit up on a stage and a face mask on right now. Surely your industry is destroyed.
Oh, it's completely trash. That's why I do this. Look, I like to do events for conservatives and smaller events and conventions and colleges. Well, colleges when it's a conservative group that brings me out, because it's much more comfortable to begin with, and these are normal human beings. So I haven't done a comedy club in years since they misbooked me by putting me in front of a very famous little person comic who does all, like, I'm a midget jokes for 90 minutes. So I get up and talk about politics and do my normal thing. And people who show up to see the I'm a midget jokes for 90 minutes are not thrilled by jokes about the news. They're not ready to learn about what happened in the news that day. They're there to watch a guy make fun of himself and finish his show with a tiny person lap dance, which is how he finishes his show. I don't compete with that. I'm bad booking.
I look at the current state of our media in the United States of America and everything they do, and it's bad for the country. I don't know how you can come to any other conclusion. What we have is bad for America. Is it the only other solution besides state-run?
Yeah, listen, it's got to be free, but people got to be smarter, and they've got to do their own research with this. I was actually a young member chair of the National Press Club. I represented all media under 35 for 2 years in 2010 to 2012. And when I was there, I realized how leftist the media was. You know, it has to be free, but we need to stop pretending that people aren't completely biased and in the tank, especially many of these organizations who are Democrats.
The National Press Club. Gosh, what a nerd.
I got to tell you, it was I was probably the youngest person there by 20 years at that point.
Tim Young, columnist with the Washington Times and comedian. Go see his stuff. I appreciate you, brother.
Thanks for having me.
Forgetting about burglary here for just a moment, forgetting about all those sticky fingers that exist. You know why I talk to you so much about Vault Pro USA? It's not just because it's a veteran-owned company. It's not just because they're America-made, although I love that. It's not even the lifetime warranty. I have some experience in my life with a fire, home fires. And let me tell you this. When you stand out in front of your home in the middle of the night and watch it burn, and you start to think about all the things in that home you cannot replace, that is a feeling I wouldn't wish on anybody. You need a gun safe, a vault door, a storm shelter. You can get one customized, or you can get one of the ones they have stock. But get something to lock up the things in your home you can't replace. Fires happen every single day in this country. Go to vaultprousa.com/Jesse. That's vaultprousa.com/Jesse. Do not forget to use the promo code THEFIRSTTV. Again, it's THEFIRSTTV to save yourself some money. We'll be back. One thing you learn after you have kids is kids aren't stupid. Don't get me wrong, when they're really, really young, they're useless, but they're not stupid at all. And sometimes you come across a child and you know either this child is going to be the president of the United States of America, or this child is going to be a supervillain out of the movies. I'm not sure what this one is. I'm That's genius. The best is how he keeps closing everything and putting everything back. It's genius. All right. We'll see you tomorrow. Newton Group Transfer. They are here to help you if you're stuck in a timeshare. These stories from people who have these timeshares and can't get out of them, they're shocking. These timeshare companies, not all of them, but so many, they get their hooks into you and you can't give them up. You can't give them up. Or they'll do things like they charge you thousands of dollars. One girl, she got past her timeshare when her mother passed away. She gets past the timeshare, doesn't want the timeshare, doesn't use the timeshare. They tell her she can get out of it for $4,000. She has to come up with a $4,000 check. This is not right. It's unjust. And Newton Group Transfers is here to help you. If you are in a timeshare and want out or know someone who is, call 888-845-3773. That's 888-84-JESSE, or go to timesharejesse.com, Newton Group Transfer. They will help you out.